Okay, today's daf is Sanhedrin Daf Zayin. We left off on Sanhedrin Daf Vav Amud Beis in the first very wide line on the page. Sanhedrin Daf Vav Amud Beis. It says the Gemara, we're at Reish Lakish, or it may not be Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish in parentheses might be Rabbi Yoshua ben Lakish or Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. But anyway, says the Gemara, somebody with some relationship to Lakish said as follows: Shnayim Shabo Ladin, Echad Rach Ve'Echad Kasha. Two people come to a din Torah. One of them is a very tough guy, and one of them is a softy. Ad shelo tishma devrayin, if you have not yet heard their tainas, o mishutishma devrayin viato yodei leichon dinoto, or you've already heard what they have to say, but you do not yet know which way you're going to judge, which way the judgment seems to be leaning. Atarashe lomer lehem ein ani nizkak lechem. You're allowed to tell them, I don't want to be involved in this din Torah. So if a mob boss comes in front of you for a din Torah, and you don't yet know whether he's going to be innocent or guilty, you can beg off of the case. Shemin is chayiv chazak v'nimtza chazak rodfo, because you're worried that maybe the chazak is going to be chayiv, the stronger guy is going to be chayiv, and then it's going to turn out that he's going to chase you down. He's going to it's going to be a threat to your life. Misha tishma devrein, once you do hear what they have to say, v'ati yodei leichel adin nota, and you know which way the case is going to go, you're not allowed to say to them that I'm not going to have anything to do with you, that I'm not going to listen to your case. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha Amar, minayin l'talmud sheyoshiv v'nei rabo v'ra z'chus la'ani v'chov la'ashir, minayin shel yishtok. How do I know that if you have a talmud sitting in front of the Rebbe and he sees that the ani the judgment is going to go against him wrongly because you find that there's a z'chus for the ani, or you see that there's some sort of chover for the asher to make the asher guilty, how do I know you shouldn't keep quiet just because you don't want to get in trouble with the asher, you don't want to upset the asher? That's the pasuk of Lo Soguru Mipnei Ish. Rabbi Chanan Omer Lo Sachnis Tevarach Mipnei Ish. Lo Soguru means not to hold in, not to bring in your words, meaning you should be open with what you know and what you think is actually true. Why does it over here say Lo Sachnis Tevarach? Before it was about Yira, Lo Soguru Mipnei Ish was about fear. So says Tosfos, Gabe Rash V'Yashir Lo Shaykh Lo Shun Yira Sheinu Yari Mipneihem. When it comes to a poor man and a rich man, it's not Shaykh to talk about fear, because why would you be fearful of them? It's not an issue of being fearful of the poor man or the rich man. It's an issue of just wanting to not say anything. But it's not an issue of fear. It's an issue of showing honor that he doesn't deserve to the rich man, instead of showing a sense of fear. Now this idea that nimtza chazak rodfo, that you're afraid that this guy is going, you have the mob boss comes in front of you for a din Torah, so if you have not yet heard the tainos, or you don't yet know which way the judgment is going to go, that's when you're allowed to beg off of the case. Otherwise, you're not allowed to, because he's what? Because he's going to kill you? So the Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Tav Tes Vav quotes from Lashon of the Sifri, Shema Tomer Yarei Ani Me Ish Ploni Shema Yahargeni O Yarog Echon Mibnei Beso O Shema Yadlik Es Kedishi, that lest a person think, I have to be afraid of this guy because he might kill me, he might kill my family, he might burn down my house, lest you think that that's a good enough reason not to judge. You should know that once you know Lehechon Adinota, you have to judge. So the Maram Shik in his sefer on the Taryag Mitzvos, we've mentioned in the past, Maram Shik has a beautiful sefer. He has three volumes of Maram Shik, two volumes of Tshuvas, and then there's one volume that's like a Minchas Chinuch type sefer on Mitzvos. The Maram Shik in that volume on Mitzvos, and it's a tough test, Zayin writes, Hinei be'emes guf divrei ha-sifri t'moim. He says that which the sifri says is very difficult. Dari Isa ha-kolom e'bifnei pikuach nefesh. This isn't one of the big three to judge truthfully. Why is it that the Gemara is telling us, and the Medrash even more explicitly is telling us, that if a mobster comes into the Beis Din and you already know whether he's going to be guilty or innocent, that you're not allowed to get off of the case? What do you mean? If you're really legitimately afraid that he's going to kill you, so mehechi tesi, that you have to die in order to issue judgment. It doesn't say that anywhere when the Gemara Sanhedrin later in the Masechta is going to list the three Yaharig Val Yavars. Judging a case is not going to be on the list. So the relevant sugya is actually in Ksubis Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, where the Gemara says that Rameir holds, Edim Shamalam Chismu Shekhar Va'al Tehargu, if Edim are told, sign your name falsely so that we won't kill you, because if you don't sign your name falsely, we will kill you. Rameir holds, Yehargu Va'al Yachtimu Shekhar, better to get killed than to sign their name falsely. And yet the Gemara isn't bothered, apparently, by the Avodah Zarah Gilui Raya Shefichas Dam, that this isn't Yehareg Val Yavar. The Rishonim over there ask it, and they say that it must be a Midas Chasidus. Shidim Betzos discusses it at length over there, and he quotes Brisos Chitzonos, that Rav Meir holds that, yeah, Gezel is also on the list of things that are Yehareg Val Yavar, but Shidim Betzos says we don't paskin that way. But maybe this idea, this Medrash, and to some extent this Gemara implies, but the Medrash says explicitly, like that idea, that Gezel would be on the list of Yehareg Val Yavar, and if you know who owes who money, and you decide not to say it, that's equivalent to Gezel. Now the Rambam, Hilchos Sanhedrin, Perichav Beis, Halacha Aleph, quotes Lashon of the Sifri, but he leaves out the words Shema Yehargeni. He quotes the rest of it. Maybe they'll burn down my house, maybe they'll threaten me, but no Shema Yehargeni. Why? Apparently the Rambam held that if you're really afraid Shema Yehargeni, if you're really afraid for your life, well then you don't have to judge the case. Okay, let's see. There's a lot of din. There's a lot to discuss. We'll discuss later on in the Masechta about other averos besides for the big three that might be Yehareg Val Yavar. Now, this idea of a Talmud Yoshev Bifnei Rabo, that he shouldn't sit there being quiet and he should say something, is also an interesting concept. Why should he say something? Shouldn't he trust that his Rebbe knows better than him? So there's Yerushalmi and Horios, Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, that even when the Beis Nagodol paskin something and you know that you're wrong, that they're wrong rather, you're not supposed to listen to them. If you know that the Beis HaGadol is wrong about a psak, so you have to listen to your psak, not the Beis HaGadol's psak. And even the Talmud Bavli and Horios stuff, Beis and Beis, says that the Talmud that knows that the Sanhedrin made a mistake and he follows their psak anyway is Chayav Karban, because he should not have followed their psak if he knew that they were mistaken. The obvious problem is Rashi al Torah in Parsha Shoftim quotes the drasha Afilu nirim be'enecha al smol shu yamin val yamin shu smol lo sasar min adavar asher yagidu lcha, that even if what they tell you seems like they're telling you that your right is left and your left is right, still you have to listen to everything they say. So what is it? Doesn't that go against the Yerushalmi and Horios and the Bavli and Horios that you're not supposed to listen when you know that they're wrong? So the Maritz Chayis and Horios quotes from the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvos in Shorash Aleph that the difference is when you spoke it out with them and when you didn't speak it out with them. If you've already told them your opinion and you explained your raya to them and they said, we don't care what you say, we think you're wrong, and they say, look, you're entitled to your opinion, but we think you're wrong, and we hear what you have to say, we still think you're wrong, then you have to listen to them. Even if you think what they're telling you is right is left and is left is right, you still have to listen to them, because once they heard your opinion, their opinion is that much more informed. They know what the other side has to say, and they still maintain their opinion, and they're the Sanhedrin HaGadol, so you have to listen to them. But if you never shared your opinion with them, if you never shared your opinion with them, and therefore they never rejected it, and maybe they're just missing something that you chapped, then you're not allowed to listen to them if you think that they're wrong. That's a major klal in terms of determining halacha of achre rabim lahatos. Even you only follow the rabbim when they heard the divrei yechidim. If they didn't hear the divrei yechidim, so then you wouldn't say achre rabim lahatos necessarily. That was the taina when they wanted to give smicha between the Ma'ari Beirav and the Maral Bach, that the rabbanim of Yerushalayim said, we understand the rabbanim of Tzfat are the rabbim and therefore they want to give smicha, and if we had a machlokas they would win, but they never consulted us, they never spoke to us, and unless you hear the opinion of the minority, then you're not allowed to follow the rabbim. You don't follow the rabbim necessarily if they haven't heard the opinion of the minority. On this last line of Zuchus Lani and Chovel Ashir, the Aruch Liner just makes the obvious point that it's Lav Dafka Zuchus Lani v'Chovel Ashir. It could be the other way also. We're just speaking in a case where we understand why you would want to keep quiet. But okay, says the Gemara Vayitiv, you Edim Yodim Esmiyen Mi'idin Lufnei Mihen Mi'idin and Mi'asad Lipar Man. Edim should be aware about who they're testifying about, who they're testifying in front of, and who's ultimately going to pay them back. Shnei Marva Amdu Shnei Anashim Asher Lahem Hariv Lufnei Hashem. Hashem, that everyone's standing in front of Hashem, you are Dayanim Yodim, and the Dayanim have to be aware, as mi hein danin, who they're judging, lufnei mi hein danin, and in front of whom they are judging, umi yasad lipar mehen, and who's going to pay them back for faulty judgments. Shenemar elohim nitzav badas kel, that the judges stand in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. V'chein v'yoshavatu amar, v'yomar el ha-shoftim ru'u ma'atem osim, ki lo la'adam tishpatu, ki la'ashem. He warned them, be careful when you're judging. You think you're just judging people. You're judging at Salam Elokim and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the courtroom. So it's ki'ilu, you're judging HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shema yomar adayin mali b'tzar hazeh. So adayin might say, okay, I really don't need that on my head. I don't want to have to worry about that, the fact that I'm judging the Ribbono Shel Olam, so maybe I just shouldn't be a judge. Tamar lomar imachem b'dvar mishpat. So don't worry, a dayan is only allowed only has to paskin based on what he sees in front of him. You're not going to be held responsible for that which is not right there in front of you. So as long as you give your honest to goodness best judgment, that's going to be good enough. You don't have to be superhuman in order to give a judgment. The poskim in Hilchos Nida learn from this line of Einol Dayan El Mashein of Roos, that when a mara comes to a chacham, let's say very often by the time the mara gets to the chacham, it's all dried up already. So sometimes the chacham could try to figure out what it probably looked like when it wasn't dry and see maybe it was a different color. So the poskim need to say no. Ein lo dayan al mashein of roos, that a dayan is only has to paskin what he sees in front of him. He doesn't have to try to figure out and ascertain what it did look like, what it will look like. That's not his business. His business is what's right in front of him. Hechidami gemar din. What do we mean by gemar din? Amar vidam rav ish ploni atachayev ish ploni atazakai. Gemar din is when you issue the direct judgment. So this is where Rashi on the top of the Amud got the idea from, that once you have a gemar din, you're not allowed to be botseya. Rashi says, what does it mean? Once you state explicitly who's chayiv and who's zakai. Tosos disagreed. You see, Rashi got it straight from this Gemara. Amar Rav, halacha k'Rabbi Shuban Karcha. In terms of pshara, we paskin like Rabbi Shuban Karcha, who said that it's a mitzvah livtzawar. Rabbi Shuban Karcha was about 15 lines down on this Amud. He said mitzvah to do a pshara. So frak the Gemara eini v'Rav Huna talmid de Rav Hava. Rav Huna was the talmid of Rav. Ki hava asul kamed Rav Huna amar lahu idina bi isui pshar bi. So when you would come in front of Rav Huna, he would offer the option: you want a pshara or you want din. If it's a mitzvah livtzawar, shouldn't he have encouraged to take pshara and not din? So my mitzvah nami to come Rav Shuban Karcha. So no, what does mitzvah mean? It means it's a mitzvah to offer the option. It doesn't mean that it's a mitzvah to dafka do pshara, but you have to at least offer the option. Frankly, Gemara hainu Tanakama, but isn't that saying therefore the same thing as the Tanakama? Because the Tanakama says once you have a Gemara din, you're not allowed to be botseya. The implication being before the Gemara din, you're allowed to be botseya, you're allowed to do pshara, and now that's the same thing Rabbi Shimon Karcha is saying, is that you're allowed to do a pshara. Not that you have to, but that you're allowed to. So it's the same thing. Ikebinai mitzvah. No, the difference between them is it a mitzvah. Rabbi Shimon Karcha is a mitzvah, Tanakama is a rishus. Tanakama holds its rishus. You're permitted to do it, you can go either way. Rabbi Shimon Karcha says it's a mitzvah to do it, and it's a mitzvah to tell people that they have the option. It's just that you don't have to tell them that they have to do it. You could tell them they have the option, but it's an ideal still to do it. Frak the Gemara Hainu de Rabbi Shimon Menasya. So then the Tanakama, who thinks that it's just a pure rishus, is saying the same thing as Rabbi Shimon Menasya, who also said it's a rishus. Now, the difference between them is if you've already heard what they have to say and you know which way the case is going to lean, you're not allowed to tell them to go and do a pshar. According to the Tanakama, even if you've already heard what they have to say, you're allowed to be botzeya until the Gemar Din. According to Rabbi Shimon Menasya, now once you've heard what they had to say and you know which way the case is going to go, even if there's no Gemar Din yet, still you're not allowed to be Botseya. Upliga de Rabbi Tanchum Bar Chanilai, and all this is against Rabbi Tanchum Bar Chanilai. All these drushes of these psukim relating to pshara is against Rabbi Tanchum Bar Chanilai because he took those same psukim and darshan them to have nothing to do with pshara per se. Dam Rabbi Tanchum Bar Chanilai lo nemar mikra zeh ela knegen maisa egel. This pasuk is really stated in regard to the egel. Problem is the Gemara never identifies which pasuk. It just says this pasuk is connected to Maisa Egel. So it's Machlokas Rashi Tosfos. Rashi says Mikra Zebotzea Birich. The pasuk that criticizes the person in the story is connected to Maisa Egel. Tosfos says the akradit Torah emes kai, that we're talking about the pasuk of Torah emes. Torah emes is a pasuk that's a complimentary pasuk. We're saying Torah emes isabafiyu. What a smart thing to do! So we're paying a compliment. So we're not sure. Rashi assumes that what we're about to say is a criticism. Tosfos assumes what we're about to say is a compliment. So Shenem, our pasuk says, let's see what it is that we're talking about. Vayar Aaron vayivin mizbeach lefanav. Aaron saw and he built the mizbeach in front of him. Ma ra'a, what did he saw? What did he see? Amra binyamin bar yefes, amra blaza, ra'a chur shazavuach lefanav. He saw that they slaughtered chur in front of him. Amar, and he said, ilo shamanal hu hashta avduli kadavdu b'chur. If I don't listen to them, they're going to do to me what they did to him. Umekayim bi, im yaharig b'mikdash Hashem, kohen v'navi. And about me, it will be mekuyam, being killed in the mikdash Hashem, someone who's a kohen and a navi. Rashi says, Aaron was both a kohen and a navi. The Medrash of Vayikra Rabbah quotes the same thing. Markos Yam points out, quotes this line, but it says that Chur shahaya navi and ani shu kohen. That it was talking about that they shouldn't kill me and Chur on the same day. Not that they shouldn't kill me and me on the same day after having killed Chur. But whatever it was, he knew that they would kill him if he doesn't go along. Velohavi lutakanta liolam. And if they kill me, then forget it. There's never going to be a takana for them. This is going to be too big of an avera for them to overcome. Mut of better for them to do the egel, because then at least maybe they'll be able to do tshuva. But if they kill me, forget it. They're not going to be able to do tshuva. So why did Rashi think that this is a criticism? So pashup shat, because who told him you're allowed to do avodah zarah to save your own skin? Okay, he wasn't doing it to save his own skin. He was doing it, he was allowing the avodah zarah to save all of their lives, right? Because they were going to be in much bigger trouble. Still, avodah zarah is yaharig v'al yavar. Who said that you're allowed to go and do avodah zarah in order to save lives? Tosfos assumes that this was complimentary toward Aaron. Why is it complimentary toward Aaron? Because perhaps he did the right thing. That it's okay to compromise in order to save the lives of so many people. Isn't there avodah zarah, and therefore yaharig v'al yavar? So there are a number of ways you can go about saying that it's not yaharig v'al yavar over here. Could be that Aaron didn't do avodah zarah. What he did was a lifnei iver of avodah zarah. And there's a well-known chakira in the Achronim. When I do lifnei iver to help you do a certain avera, do I get the avera that I helped you do, or is a separate shemisser of lifnei iver? Right? Do I have a chelek in your avera? In which case, Aaron would have a chelek in the avodah zarah, and it would be harig v'al yavar. Maybe no. Maybe it's a separate shem avera. He has an isra of lifnei iver. It's not an isra of avodah zarah. And to save lives, he's allowed to violate lifnei iver. That's not one of the big three. You're allowed to violate lifnei iver. Could also be based on what the Marik writes in the Tshuva. The Marik writes that Latzolos Klal Yisrael is different. To save the entire Jewish people is different than saving a single life. So to save your own life, you're right, you can't violate avodah zarah. But to save all of Klal Yisrael, maybe for that you can violate avodah zarah. Also, this idea Mutav Delav Del Egel, that he said it's better for them to violate the Egel than to murder me. Who told him that? Avodah Zarah and Gilir and Shvichas Damim are two of the big three. Who says that Shvichas Damim is worse than Avodah Zarah? So it's an interesting lashon of the Rambam. It's important to know. The Rambam in the fourth parak of Hilchos Rotzeach, Halacha Tes, writes, Afal Pishish Avonos Chamurin Mishvichas Damim, even though there are certain averos that are more severe than murder, none of them are as destructive to society as Shvichas Damim is. V'kol mi sheyesh bo avon zeh, harei hu rasha gamur, v'in kol ha-mitzvah sha'asa kol yamav, shkulin keneged avon zeh, v'lo yatzilu min adin. That anyone who violates Shvichas Damim is a rasha gamur. All the tshuva in the world is not going to help him, no matter how much you say he did tshuva, so we should have, petition the governor, whatever, we should try to get him off the hook, because he did tshuva. Someone who violated Shvichas Damim, there's no tshuva is not going to help. All the tshuva in the world is not going to help someone who violates Shvichas Damim. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, V'hani Tanai Poter Mayim Reishis Madon, May Darshi Bey. What do these Tanaim do with the pasuk of Poter Mayim Reishis Madon? If it's not about Pshara, what is it about? So, kid Rav Hamnuna, they darshan it like Rav Hamnuna. Dam Rav Hamnuna ain't chilas dino shel adam nidon ela al divrei Torah. There's so much here that the first thing that a person faces up in Shemayim after 120 years is the issue of Divrei Torah. Shenemar poter mayim reishis madon. That the first din is going to be about what's nimshal lamayim. What's nimshal lamayim? Torah. Amrav huna hay tigra dam yilatzinor debitka demaya. That an argument is like a pipe bursting with water. Kivan deravach ravach. Once it lets out and it bursts through, it's going to become massive. Abayik shisha amr dami lugudu degamla kivan de kam kam. He says it's like the plank of a bridge that once it's firm in place, it's going to be firm. At the beginning, it may be a little rickety, but as it gets used to people walking on it, it sort of finds its place. But what's this idea that the first din, that the first question a person is going to face up in Shemayim is going to be on Divrei Torah? Fractosos, we have an Afana Gemara Masechta Shabbos that says that there are six questions that they ask you up in Shemayim after 120 years. And what's the first one? Nasasa v'nasata be'amuna. Did you deal honestly in business? So where do we get this idea that the first thing they're going to ask you is on Divrei Torah? So Tosfos says, well, it depends if you're someone who learned a lot of Torah and you just weren't koveya itim l'Torah, but you did learn. So then the first question they're going to ask you is about business, because they're not going to get you on the Torah. They're only going to get you on kovat itim l'Torah. They'll save that for a second. But if you're someone who didn't learn Torah, then the first thing they're going to get you on is did you or did you not learn Torah? That's how Tosfos wants to say. It's Yadua, though, the well-known pshat of the Gra that's quoted in the Maritz Chiyus in Masechta Shabbos. It's also quoted over here by the Margolius Hayam in the name of Rav Shmelka, the brother of the Hafla'a, an unbelievable pshat. He says, if you look at that Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, right before it says these six questions that they ask you up in Shemayim, it darshins a pasuk of Emunah Sitecha, etc., Chachma V'das, and it says that each of the six words in the pasuk relate to one of the Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. So says Maritz Chayis in the name of the Gra, if you look at the six words in the pasuk connected each of the Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, and the six questions that they ask you in the Olam HaEmes, they all line up perfectly with each other. Meaning, when they ask you Nasas V'Nasata Be'Emunah, that's not about business. It's talking about emuna. What's emuna? Zra'im. Seder Zra'im is emuna. Kavati itam l'tara is itecha. That's Seder Moed. Asaktim piri v'rivya? That's nashim. See, peace of Yeshua? Yeshua is Seder Nezikin. Pipalta b'chachma? Chachma is Seder Kachim. Hivanta davar mitok davar is referring to das, which is Seder Taros. So it's all about Torah. That Gemara is not against us. That Gemara is exactly fits with this Gemara. That it's all about Torah. And that's... That's another way to explain that this Gemara is not a stira. A third way to explain how it's not a stira, Margolius Yam quotes from the Mayan Eliyahu, who says that Rashi over here specifically emphasizes Tchilas Dino La'asil Lavo, which means not when a person is dead, but rather in the Olam HaTchia, after Tchias HaMesim. The din when we're dead is going to be different than the din during the time of Tchias HaMesim. Okay, it's a little beyond me to try to figure that out. The Marsha, though, in the Chidush HaGadol says an unbelievable pshat. Marsha says some people, everyone should have some sort of Torah education, and some people should find that they're extremely matzliach in their Talmud Torah, and as such should spend their lives dedicated to learning Torah. The intellectual elite should become the great poskim and the great Rosh Yeshiva or whatever. And other people who have some matzliach in Talmud Torah, but maybe aren't found to be super talented in Talmud Torah, should go and they should earn a living, and they should still be kaveh. They should still learn Torah. Says the Marsha, based on what your tafkid in life was, that's going to be the first question that they ask you. So the guy who became a Rosh Yeshiva, who shouldn't have been, because it wasn't his tafkid in life, first question they're going to ask you is, Nasas v'nasata be'amuna? No, how did you do in business? And they'll say, business? What business? They'll say, well, you were supposed to be in business. And the guy who should have been the Rosh Yeshiva and decided to be involved in business, first thing they're going to say to him is, al divrei Torah. And he's going to say, divrei Torah? Well, I was koveh itim. Well, no. Tchilas dinos on divrei Torah. We want to know more than koveh itim. Where are the thousands of talmidim you were supposed to have? And he's not going to know, obviously. So the point is that it's all about knowing what a person's tafkid in life is. Just one last thing on this. I'll read through the rest of the daf fast, I promise. One last thing on this. Rav Shechter said that once he was sitting in the Rav's shir, and the Rav called on a guy to read a Tosos. The guy read a Tosos. Tosos quoted a Gemara, and the Rav said to the guy, you looked up the Gemara? And the guy said, I trust Tosos, that he's quoting the Gemara correctly. So the Rav told him, you know, Chaim Velazhner had a Talmud who also said the same thing, said, I trust Tosos. And Chaim Velazhner told him that, look, there's a stira between this Gemara and the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos. Here it says the first Tchilas Dino Sholdim is al Divrei Torah. In Shabbos it says, Nasas v'nasata be'emuna is the first question that they're going to ask you. So he says, no, don't you see, Nasas v'nasata be'emuna is also a question about Divrei Torah. Nasas v'nasata be'emuna, when you learn Torah, did you trust? You just trusted? You had emuna? You just trust that Tosu says that the Gemara says that way and therefore it's okay? No, you can't learn like that. You have to look everything up. At a Rebbe in YU, David Hirsch used to tell us, when Tosus quotes a Gemara, you better learn that whole parak of Gemara if you want to, he had a little bit of Chicago accent, but if you want to, you have to learn the whole parak if you want to have an understanding. You can't just trust. Okay, Shimi Vashti Sheva Zmiros Hu Simen. So there are going to be several sayings that the Gemara is going to quote. We just gave a simon for the saying. Stam, sayings that have nothing really to do with Pshara. And the Gemara is going to find a source for each of the sayings. There was one guy who used to go around saying, Tuve deshama va'adish, that it's good for a person who hears when he hears himself being humiliated and he doesn't respond. Chalfua bishte mea, he avoids 100 bad things by doing that. Amalei Shmuel Rav Yehuda, kruxiv potamayim reishis madon, reish meyadini. Ah, that's a pasuk. Potamayim reishis madon is reish meyadini. That means that you're going to avoid 100, that's the beginning of 100 dinim. So you could avoid all that by just not saying anything when someone mocks you. That's our segue into all these statements, because we were just darshaning that pasuk, so the first of the sayings is somewhat relevant. There used to be a guy walking around saying, on two or three times a ganav is not going to be killed. Meaning, don't wonder if you see a guy who's stolen things once or twice or three times, and you see that he hasn't been punished yet. Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu do anything? HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't always act right away, but don't worry, he's keeping cheshbon. Amalei Shmuel Rav Yehuda, kruxiv. Ah, there's a pasuk like that. Komar Hashem al There was another guy that we used to go around saying that someone who was a good man, a man of peace, can walk by seven boroughs that are dangerous and that a normal person might fall in, and our Kodesh Baruch Hu will save him from all of them. But a bad guy, he goes into one dangerous situation and he's going to fall right away. Meaning, when you have averos, so there's a major kitrug every time you're in a specifically dangerous situation. So if a person has averos, he's likely to be in danger. Amalei Shmuel Rav Yehuda, kruxiv kishavi yipal tzadik v'kam. Right? It says beferish in the pasuk. Shavu yipol tzaddik v'kam, that and Russia is yipol ba'achas, that a tzaddik will go seven times and will stand up every time, and a Russia only once and he won't get up. Hu davakam Rav Azil, a fourth statement, that there was a guy going around saying dalzim li beidina shakel glima, that a guy who came from a Beis Din from a Beis Din that had just taken away his clothing, meaning he lost the case, they totally fleeced him in the case, he lost everything, Lizmar Zemar V'lezel B'orcha, he should be singing in the streets about losing the case. Amalei Shmuel Rav Yehuda, kruxiv v'gam kala amazal makomo yavo b'shalom. Why should he be singing in the streets? Point is, obviously he was guilty, and it's better for him, he doesn't realize it, but we learned this yesterday also, but it's better for him to have lost, at least he's not walking around with stolen property in his possession. Next statement, that if a woman is lazy, her basket will fall off her head. Meaning that you're going to lose when you're lazy, it's not good to be lazy. Sixth statement, Gavra de Rechitzna Le Adil Gzize Vekam, that sometimes the people who you think are going to be most loyal to you are going to turn against you. Amalei Shmuel Rav Yehuda, kruxiv gam ish shlomi asher batachti bo. Even the one you trust in, he's going to be the one, the et tu brute, right? Even the one that you trust in, that you think is your good friend, he's going to be the one to turn on you sometimes. Ahuda v'kamer v'azil, ki rechimten hava aziza apusi desafsira shachivan. When me and my wife had strong love for each other, we could live together on the head of a needle, it was enough space for us. On the point of a needle was enough space for us. Meaning, there was no, we were never in each other's way because the love was so great. But when the love is not strong, Puria bar shisim garmidi lo sagilan, then the house is never going to be big enough for the two of us. When the relationship is not good, we're always going to be getting in each other's way and resenting each other. It's interesting, it doesn't use a lashon when we hate each other or when we don't like it. When the lashon is de lo aziza rechimtin, when the love isn't extremely strong, it's not aziza rechimtin, still it's going to be impossible. Why all these statements over here? What does this have to do with Sanhedrin? Just to make the Daf Yomi longer. So I heard from Rav Shechter, he said in the name of the Rav, that this is a follow-up to the sugya of Pshara. That the sugya of Pshara had three shitos, whether Pshara is mutter, Pshara is asur, Pshara is a mitzvah. Now why would it be a mitzvah l'vtzoh, a mitzvah to do Pshara? After all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave his dinim, we have Chosh and Mishpat, so why should we not listen to the Chosh and Mishpat and do what we say? A gut, our own gut, is better than what the Chosh and Mishpat says. So Rav Soloveitchik explained, based on the Gemara Maseches Nida, where the Gemara tells us that a baby inside the mother's womb learns Kala Torah Kula, and then they tap the baby on the lip and he forgets it all. So the obvious kasha is, what's the point of teaching him Kala Torah Kula if you're just going to make him forget it? So Rav Soloveitchik explained, no, although he forgets the actual facts of Torah, he has an inclination toward Torah. He has his gut reaction is informed by Torah. Now his whole way of thinking is informed by Kala Torah Kula. So the whole idea of Pshara being a positive thing is based on the concept that what the Dayanim think, even without studying the Chosh and Mishpat, is also informed by Torah. Right? The Reb Chaim used to say, a mistaver of the Rishonim is better than 10 rayas from the Achronim. That when a Rishon says a mistaver, it's so informed by Torah that he doesn't need all the rayas in the world. It's just, it's informed by Kala Torah Kula. So that's why, right after Pshara, what do we quote? 7 statements that random people just made, and for each one, we find a pasuk. You say, no, don't worry, that's not just a statement a guy made. There's a pasuk like that. That statement is actually informed by Torah. And that's the point, that there's a gut reaction that is somehow informed by the Torah itself. Okay, Amrav Huna. Kraik Sibi. Meikarik Siv. First pasuk says, Nuraduchasham v'dibarti yitach me'ala kapores. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to us from me'ala kapores. V'tanya, we have a braisa, aron tisha v'kapores tefach, harei kanasara. Right, this is going on the last statement, that when the love is strong, then you need very little space. But when the love isn't strong, all the space in the world is not enough. So the aron was a very low down, it was only 10 tefachim off the ground that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to us. Uksiva, b'aisa shabana mel shlomo, la'ashem shishimama archo, v'esrim rechvo, shloshim amakomaso. It was much bigger. Ulbsov ksiv kamar Hashem Hashemayim kesiva aretz adam ragli eze bayis asher tivnuli, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu still says there's no bias that can contain me. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not happy with Klal Yisrael, right, this is a Daf Yomi coincidence. Parshas Truma, we're about to learn about the Mishkan, about the Mikdash. So the Mishkan is only as good as Klal Yisrael is, because is only as good as the relationship Klal Yisrael has with the Ribono Shalom is. When we have a good relationship, any Mishkan can hold the Ribono Shalom, and he can feel comfortable there. When we don't have a good relationship, no matter how big and grand it's going to be, it's not going to hold him. My mashma da lo suguru lishna de knushehu. How do we know the lo suguru means to withhold? So Amar Rav Nachman Ramakra, v'yayin lo tishte v'lo se'egar. From that pasuk, lo se'egar is a lashon of withholding. Rav Acha bar Yaakov amar mehacha, tachin b'kayitz l'chama, igro b'katsir ma'achala. Rav Acha bar Dravika amar mehacha, ogir b'kayitz ben maskil. I mean, the bottom line is all these pesukim use lashon of igra or ogir to be a lashon of withholding, of keeping in. Emes Mamun Yira Simon. Am Rabbi Shmuel ben Achmeni Am Rabbi Yonason. Kol Dayan Shadundin Emes Lamito Mashra Shchina BiYisrael. Any Dayan who judges a true judgment truthfully is going to cause the Shchina to rest in Klal Yisrael. So isn't that a little wordy? Emes LaAmito. So Tosfos Masech Shabbos and Daf Yud writes that Din Emes is that you paskin based on what the Din is. Paskin based on, okay, you tiny this, you tiny this. I look in Chosh Mishpat, it says that this is the Din. Emes la'amito is that you're not only satisfied with that, but sometimes you can sniff out when something is fishy, when something is, yes, I know he says this and he says that, but something seems off over here. So Dayan could close his eyes and say, you know what, I don't have to find out what seems off. They're telling me, I just have to deal with what they're telling me. And I can trust what they're telling me is what they're telling me, and that's it, and I'll just deal with the case. That's a din emes, because it's emes, that the halacha is, based on the information you were given, what it is. Emes la'amito is when you try to sniff out when there's something going on, when there's some issue, when you question a little bit further to see if there's something that you're missing, to try to figure out what the real emes is. So that's the lashon of emes lamito according to Tosfos. So someone who's done din emes lamito causes the Shechina to rest in Klal Yisrael. Shneamar Elohim nitzav ba'adas kel bekerav Elohim yishpot. The kol dayin sheinu done din emes lamito garim l'shechina shetestalik miYisrael. And any dayin who does not do a din emes lamito causes the Shechina to leave Klal Yisrael. Shneamar. As the pasuk says, Mishod aniyim me ankas evyonim ata akum yomer Hashem. V'amr Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Amr Rabbi Yonason, kol dayin shenotel mizev nosan lezeh shelo kedin. If a dayin makes a mistake and awards money to somebody incorrectly, Hakadosh Baruch Hu notel mimenu nafsha. Hakadosh Baruch Hu will take his soul from him. Shnemar al tigzol dal ki dalhu v'al tidka ani b'shar ki Hashem yariv rivam mekavas koveim nefesh. If don't rob the poor man of the money that he deserves, because Hashem is going to defend him. How? Through the nefesh. He's going to take away your nefesh. A person should always
see himself as if there's a sword drawn against him,
and as if Gehenim is opened up underneath him, and that he could fall at any moment. Shnemar he named Itasu Shal Shlomo Shishim Gibor Savla Migvor Yisrael Kulam Achuzei Cherv Mulum Dei Mechama Ish Char Bal Yirecho Mipachad Balelos. That when you're in the presence of the Ribono Shel Olam, you have to view it as if there are all these people with swords around you, and there's Pachad Balelos. What's Pachad Balelos? Mipachta Shel Gehenim Shadom Lelaila. Gehenim is compared to Laila, so that's a Pachad of Gehenim that a person should have. Darush Rabbi, that a Dayan should have. Darush Rabbi Yoshia. V'item Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Maidich Siv, Beis David, Koamar Hashem, Dina Laboker Mishpat, V'itzilu Gazel Miyad Oshek. What does the pasuk mean when it says that in the Beis David, in the morning when they do judgment, then you can save the stolen property from the thief? V'chiba Boker Dan V'kaliyom Mein Danin. What, they would only judge in the morning? They wouldn't judge the rest of the day? It was only during the morning hours that judgment would happen? Hamzim Margolios Hayam points out that what's so difficult about that? The Gemara in Shabbos Daf Yud says that the Zman of Beis Din was until the fifth hour of the day. And Tosfos Pesachim Daf Beis Amud Aleph says that up until 6 hours of the day is called Boker. So, yeah, they would only judge in the morning hours. It's a strong kasha. Okay, but he has a teretz, but the kasha is better than the teretz. Ella, so he says, so what does it mean that you only judge in the morning? What, you only judge in the morning? Elam baruch ha'davar keboker amrehu, v'imlav al tamrehu. No, what it means is that a dayan has to be clear in his judgment. If he's confident that he's saying the halacha correctly, then he should say it. If he doesn't have confidence that he's correct, then don't say it. Then keep it to yourself. You study it a little more before you issue any pesach halacha if he's not confident. Reb Chiya bar Abba Amar Miyonos and Mehacha, he says, no, where we darshan that same idea is from the following pasuk. Amor l'chachma achosiat, which means, imbor l'cha adover ka achoscha shi asur l'ch omreyu, v'imlav al tomreyu. You know when you should say your judgment? If it's as clear to you as the fact that your sister is usher to you. It has to be something that's so obvious. That's when you should say it. Otherwise, don't say any such judgment. The Aruch Lener is a very harifus de gavard over here. He says, why dafka your sister? Why not your mother? Why not right, any other relative? He says, what's the idea of the sister? So he says, it's from the psukim about the isser of sleeping with your sister that we learn the idea that Ein masirin min adin, nein onshin min adin. The pasuk goes out of its way to say, achoso bas aviv shelo bas imo. Right? How do I know bas aviv shelo bas imo, bas imo shelo bas aviv? So you might have thought, well, if it says that my sister from my father's side, I'm not allowed to sleep with, so obviously, if we share both parents, right? So the pasuk, why does the pasuk have to tell me if we share both parents? To tell you, ein onshin min adin. We, even though there's a kal v'chomer from achoso, still ein onshin min adin. Now what you see from there is, why is it that generally speaking, ein onshin vein masirin min adin? So generally speaking, the Rosh in Taros writes that generally speaking, the reason ein onshin min adin, I'm sorry, the Rosh in Kachem somewhere, it says like this, that ein onshin min adin is an idea that you can't make a kal v'chomer and then issue a punishment based on that kal v'chomer, because let's say your kal v'chomer is wrong. Let's say we have a pirchon of the kal v'chomer. So kal v'chomer is not strong enough proof. Since the kal v'chomer is completely dependent on your own logic and your own analysis, so you can't punish somebody based on that kal v'chomer. That's the whole idea of ein onshin min adin. So normally any kal v'chomer you have is not abundantly clear. Any judgment you have, any judgment you make, you always question, maybe it's wrong, maybe it's not wrong. What's the only case of a kal v'chomer where we know it's 100% right? It's the one that the Torah says.
about basachoso, about the fact that your sister is usher to you. So when the Gemara has to give an example of make sure you know it with 100% clarity, what example does it choose? It chooses the example of the sister being usher. When you're a judge and you have to make a judgment call, be as clear on it as the fact that your sister is usher to you, which is explicit in the Torah. Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Asara Shiyoshim Medin, Kol Tali B'Tzavar Kulan. If 10 people sin in judgment, they all face the music. They all have a serious level of responsibility. So Frekmar Pshita, of course. Even if one of them isn't on the base and he's a Talmud sitting in front of his Rebbe, so he might argue, well, you know, I trust my Rebbe. My Rebbe's doing it right. Why should I question anything? No, he's responsible also. He should have noticed if something was going wrong also and corrected his Rebbe. That's what we learned earlier today. Rav Huna Kiava Asi Din El Kamei, when a din would come in front of Rav Huna, Michna from Isi Asar Rabbanim Be Rav, he would never want to judge it alone. He would always consult with other rabbis. He would always bring in 10 other rabbis. Amar Kiechi Dilimti Yashiva Mikshura. He said, you know what, I'd much rather have the full impact of the force of the mistake hit all of us at the same time than all come down on me. This way the impact won't be as strong. Ravashi Kiava Asi Trefasa L'Kamei Machna V'Maisi L'Lukuli Tafki D'Masa M'Chasya. When Ravasi would have a trefa brought in front of him, he would bring all the local butchers together to paskin on it. Amar Kiyech D'Lim T'an Shiv L'Bikshura. Again, the same idea. I don't want the full impact of an erroneous judgment all on my shoulders. Let us all share the responsibility for it. The chiddush of Ravasi is that even in a psak of Issa v'Heter, it wasn't only in Dini Mamonis, it wasn't about Dayanus, it was about Issa v'Heter. Kiyas Rav Dimi Amar Darash Rav Nachman Bar Kohen Maidich Siv Melch V'Mishmad Yam Noretz V'Ish Trumas Yar Sena. What is that passage referring to? Im Dayan Domal L'Melch Shein Utsar Chluklum. If the Dayan is like a king who needs nothing, Yam Noretz, then he's going to hold up the land. V'im Domal L'Kohen Shemachazer Beis HaGranos. But if he's like a Kohen who goes around to the Beis HaGranos collecting Truma, who's needy, Yar Sena, then it will be destructive. So what does it mean he's needy or not needy? So Rashi and Tosfos in one pshat says it's talking about in Torah. If the Dayan is a great Talmud Chacham, he doesn't need anybody in terms of his Talmud Torah. He's very self-sufficient in terms of his Torah. That's a good Dayan. But if he's always having to run to this one and the next one to be able to know things, so then he's not a good Dayan. But then Tosfos says, based on the Gemara in Ksubis, at the very end of Ksubis, that no, it's not about Torah, it's about money. That if a Dayan is very needy in terms of his money, so you have to be very careful with such a Dayan, because he can easily be swayed, he can easily be bribed. But if he doesn't need money, he's very self-sufficient in terms of money, so then you could trust that the more independent the Dayan is, the better off you are. The number one quality that a Dayan needs is complete independence. And we're going to see that come up later in the Gemara as well. The Bein Nesiyah Ukmi Dayan at the Lava Gemara. The Bein Nesiyah appointed a Dayan who wasn't well-versed. The Maturgamah of Reish Lakish says, why don't you go and be his Maturgamah, meaning announce the things that he says. Come, Gachan Alev Lom, Alev Lom Midi. So he sat down next to him, he said, no, what do you have to say? What piece of Torah can you share? But the guy was an idiot. He didn't know anything. So he didn't say anything. So Pasuk V'Yamar, so he got up, the Maturgamah got up and said, oh, he's now teaching the Pasuk. Hi Omer Le'etzi Kitzo Uri Le'Evan Domeim Hu Yora Hinehu Tafu Zah V'Kesa V'Kal Ruach Ein Bekirbo. Like a dry piece of wood and a stone who knows nothing tries to issue psak halacha, and he says this pasuk about a moron, and people chap that the guy's a moron. The guy's not saying anything because he doesn't know anything. It's like the story I think I told recently that there was a Chaim Berlin, a guy who was thrown out of Chaim Berlin, and someone who's a classmate of his heard that he became a Rav in the Midwest somewhere. And he went to visit him in the office, and he saw that on his wall there's a piece of paper signed by Rav Huttner, looked like a smicha. And he looked a little closer, and it was the letter that Rav Huttner signed, throwing him out of yeshiva. Right? As long as you don't know how to read Hebrew, it all looks the same. It has Rav Huttner's name on the bottom, it's all fine. So he gets up, and he says this pasuk that makes the guy look like a fool. Vasar Kodesh Baruch Hu Liparu Midin. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to pay back those who put such a judge in a position. Shneamar v'Hashem beichel kacho hasbi panav kala aretz. Amrei shlakish kala mamad dayin sheinu hagun kilu noteh asher b'Yisrael. Anyone who appoints a judge who's not deserving, it's as if he planted an Asherah in Yisrael. The Aruch Lener says, doesn't say as if he was Ovid in Asherah, because even if the judge never issued a single judgment, just by being Mamed the Dayan, the Dimyon is to
planting the Asherah. Shnamer Shoftim Shotim Titin Lcha V'Samach Le'Losit Lcha Asherah Kaleitz. Because right next to Shoftim Shotim we have the Yisra of Asherah. Amar Vashu B'Makom Sheish Tamidich Chachamim Kilunato Etzal Mizbeach Shnamer Etzal Mizbeach Hashem Elokecha. If there are more qualified Tamidich Chachamim who could be the judges and you bypass them in order to go and give the job to this guy who's not deserving, then it's as if not only you planted an Asherah but as if you planted an Asherah right next to the Mizbeach, meaning it's a real slap in the face. What, you're not allowed to make gold gods and silver gods, but wooden gods are okay? So I'm Ravashi, it's referring to judges. Don't make judges who are going to be swayed by Kesef and Zav, who are going to be swayed by money. That's what it's talking about. It's not talking about Avodah Zarah. Rav Kevasi the Beidina Amar Hachi. When Rav came to Beis Din, he said as follows: Baros Nafshe L'Ketala Nafik V'Tzavi Beisei Lasu Avid. That I'm going to end up being killed. I don't even do the needs of my house. I go back to my house empty handed. Halavai, I should come home with as much as I had leaving the house in the morning. Meaning that it's a very scary proposition to be a judge, and you never know how many averos you're going to have because of misjudgments and the like. Meaning, and that's a proper attitude for a dayan to have. A dayan should be humble. He shouldn't think that he has all the answers. Kavichazi amvua. Abasre, and he would try to humble himself in other ways. When he would see throngs of people following him because he was such a chash of a guy, Amrim Yal Shemaim Shio Kigalol Netzach Yovad, he would say psukim to humble himself, to say that he's really a nothing. Marzutra Chasido also would do such things. Kavamakasvile Bishabata de Rigla, when they would hold him on their shoulders on the Shabbos of the Regel, Amr Hachi, he would say as follows, Kiloli Olam Chosid Vimnezel Ledar Vadar, that you're not always going to be so mechubed, not everyone's always going to love you, not everyone's always going to show you such great respect. Okay, we almost finished the daf. Hashem, tomorrow, a little bit of a shorter daf, we'll try to catch up.